You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Ravens Weekly Podcast. As you can hear, Matt Hall is not with us today, so we've decided to replace a Bromley legend with another Bromley legend. We are now joined by the one, the only, Jack Holland.
Thanks, mate. That's a really nice intro you done for me there.
So, Jack, you were our captain. You led us out at Wembley. You won promotion. But this has to be the highlight of your career, being here on this,
this
podcast.
Yeah, there's been a few highs in my career, but I can't imagine a higher, more privileged position than with you on the podcast.
Well, I'll take it. And I think if Matt was here, I think three's a crowd, isn't it? So
me and you are fine.
I mean, we're smashing this already.
If so not, we don't better,
need
Matt. I think.
Exactly,
better.
Yeah. We'll kick him off next week. Right. Anyway, it's pre-season, Jack, and you're experiencing it on both ends. You're a player and you're part of the backroom staff as well at two different clubs, but how is that going for you?
Tiring, to be totally honest. I think playing still, obviously, I've played all my life and I'm used to the pre-season of playing.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of added stresses and stuff like that on the other side of it, but I'll be lying if I say that I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy inflicting that sort of pain that I've had to do onto others.
Yeah.
It's a good pain, obviously. It's not actually real pain, but I'll tell you what, this year, especially this pre-season, has been extremely tough. I think it's the toughest we've ever done. And, you know, that's down to Tom Cocking, you know, my partner down there. He come up with the plan and I think fitness-wise, we are the fittest we've ever been at this club, and seeing what the boys go through is amazing, and they've really pulled through.
I mean, you can see that. I mean, going out and watching the lads train and stuff, you can see the difference even from last summer. It's just incredible. So credit to you lot for doing that. But talking about the actual football, you made a move in the summer, didn't you?
I did. I don't know if anyone knows.
I don't think anyone knows. But I think there was a bit of a reunion, wasn't there, between you, Neil Smith, a few of the old Bromley boys as well. So how's that going?
Yeah, good. I think ever since, you know, I left Bromley, I think I've had multiple people say, "Oh, you, I know where you're going."
Yeah.
And it just didn't pan out that way. And then, obviously, after last year, I sat down with Neil, had a chat with him. And I know some of the boys that were at Bromley before, so Raymond, Poulter came with me.
Yeah.
And obviously we got Sam Wood there, Anthony Cook, who was, you know, years gone by, he was with me here. So I think everyone saw it as a, you know, it was always going to happen, but it never did.
It's meant to be.
But no, we've got a good group of us that, you know, sort of know each other in and out and, you know, had success together here. So I'm looking forward to hopefully a good season.
Because George and Frankie, they were with you last season, Dulwich. So, you know, I think you all just grouped together and keeping that sort of tight-knit.
I think it was just the right time. I think everything just lined up that it was going to happen, and it did happen. And, you know, it's, like you said, it's almost a reunion. Hopefully we can spark that 2018, 2019 feel around the place. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be tough. You know, there's a lot of good teams in that league, but I'm there for the challenge.
And we have to talk about Bromley from Saturday and Tuesday night. We played Millwall on Saturday, and we obviously had our under-21s as well. They played their under-18s and unfortunately lost, but it was good to see a big crowd supporting our 23s. What do you make of our under-21s at the minute?
I have a lot to do with the 21s, to be fair. I think that's where my spectrum goes, with obviously the gym side of things and strength and conditioning. And they've got, you know, an amazing manager, Jamal, who, you know, he works tirelessly. You know,
and he's a top guy as well.
Oh, unbelievable! Really, such a good guy. It's a pleasure working with him. So, but the boys themselves, this year especially, already are a credit to their families and stuff. I've got to be honest. They come in. They've worked ever so hard, and I think their results and their performances, which I don't know how many people have seen it or not, but they put in some really, really good stuff, and I think it's exciting. I think, you know, with Jams leading them again, it's going to be hopefully a good year with some of them being able to press on.
And we must shout out Andrea as well for our big female football day as well. Yeah. That was a success. We had a lot of people watch the Lionesses in Broomfields, and Andrea was sort of, she hosted the whole thing. She arranged that sort of all of last week before that. So it's a good plan that was in place. Did you see much of that over the weekend?
Do you know what? I see bits and pieces because obviously I'm playing myself, so I'm not actually at the club. But I actually speak to Andrea quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
I spoke to her yesterday, funny enough. And I know how tirelessly she works and the passion she has. And it doesn't surprise me, the success that she's seeing. She was talking to me about the recreational football for the women and stuff like that, which just goes from strength to strength. And I have no doubt that that's going to get even more so. So, you know, I know how hard she works and everything that is happening that side, you know, is a credit to her.
And moving on to Tuesday night, we played Dartford and 1-2-1. So another positive run out. And we touched on the under-21s and Kasper Orlovsky, he started in goal. He played well. So, can't fault him. And then obviously Callum Corbin came on in the second half, and they're two other, you know, under-21s that are really making a name for themselves at the minute.
Yeah, I've known Kasper for a while, and I knew about his quality anyway. And, you know, he can handle things like that. Obviously, playing for the under-21s during the day and then having to go into that in the evening is a credit to him. I think, you know, he went out there and gave it his best, and I know there's been chatter about him. Callum Corbin as well, he's a professional lad as well. I think all our red tops and our 21s in general, they're willing to learn. They're in there, they do what they need to do gym wise out on the field. It doesn't surprise me that they're starting to break through, and I think there's more to come out of that red top group,
and there's more sort of determination to do well after Callum Fisher made the move to Norwich. So, yeah, I mean, it's just going strength to strength, isn't it? And obviously Jamel's been in and around the Academy 21s for a while now, so he'll know the players. And obviously we've got Steve in the first team, and he's sort of building that bridge. So we've got more first-year pros this summer. But, it's going
to,
well.
To be fair, we've touching on Kellen and Liam when he was here, when he went to his move to Portsmouth. And I know it's been said to death, but they are the benchmark for our youngsters. Both professional lads that were first ones in, last ones out, did all their gym work, did all their running work. Everything they need to do was there. And, you know, we've got the likes of Sol and Ben Krauthaus coming up as well. So, you know, they're following that model. When I think it's proven that we have a model for success for youngsters. So we're trying to use them as models. But I think, you know, it's something that even down to the 15, 16s, they can look to, and that's where they should be aiming to get to now.
And touching on Dartford, I don't think we can ignore the fact that we had a familiar face return. And obviously, you see him in and around Hayes Lane in your day-to-day role, and that is a certain Mr. Coulson.
Can't get rid of him. No. Can't get rid
he's
of him.
He's everywhere, isn't he?
Yeah, it's like a bad penny, that kid. Like, I always... But yeah, when I see the Dartford were playing Bromley, if I could have come and watched, I would have.
Yeah. We'd have had you on as a try yesterday.
Yeah, I would have just smashed him, to be honest. I told him last year, but I think we didn't play against each other, but I was coming for him.
Yeah.
But I did see he played, and no doubt a couple of the boys, probably Cheeky, had a few bits to say to him. So it was, you just can't get rid of him.
No, and obviously he's. he's an academy coach, isn't he, at the minute, and he's received a promotion in his role, which I'm sure we'll announce in the next few days. But yeah, no, he's doing well here, isn't he?
Yeah. Do you know what? All our coaches, from you know all age levels, is the work they put in. I've got I'll just keep bigging people up on this podcast, but it's true.
We'll big you up.
No, I don't need it. But it's true. I just want to let people know that the work that goes on by the staff behind the scenes, especially, you know, even the teachers, the coaches. But I know Luke and Jams, I've seen the work they put in. And I think with Luke especially, it's almost obsessive how in-depth he goes and, to be honest, how good of a coach he is. So it doesn't surprise me again with his promotion. But I'll never tell that to his face unless he watches this. but it fully deserved.
So yeah, after the game we caught up with Andy Woodman, and here is what he had to say.
Andy, another good workout. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a competitive game, which I was hoping it was going to be. I felt it was a little bit more of a realistic test of what we're going to come up against. And physically, I thought we handled it well. We was a little bit too deep first half, playing in there at half, which I didn't want us to do. Second half, or towards the end of the first half, we started playing in there half a little bit more and created one or two problems. So I was quite happy with it. I'm happy with the scoreline, of course. We all want to win football matches. But I thought the workout was good and there was some good positives out of the game.
And one player who started was Kasper Orlovsky. What did you make of his performance?
He's been great, hasn't he? I mean, what a nice fairy tale for him. He's found himself in the first team and he's done brilliant. I mean, really, really chuffed, and he's still only 17, so real bright future for that young man, and really chuffed at the way he's conducted himself. He looks so mature in the goal, so he's been a real big plus.
And another youngster, Callum Corbin, he came on in the second half. How much do you rate him as a player?
Yeah, we've watched Callum. He's a tidy player, as you can see. He moves the ball well. He picks up good positions. So, it was nice to get him some minutes, and good for him, you know, to, and all these young boys. You know, we've played a lot of them pre-season, and I want them to really realise there's an opportunity at this football club to get into the first team. So, you know, it's not just like we've got an academy here just to make up numbers. We want these boys coming through, getting into the first team, and there's a real opportunity. And then all of those boys pre-season have put themselves on show, so it's great for them. And now we'll keep monitoring throughout the season. They'll be working with us, and hopefully you'll see some more of them when the season starts.
And how beneficial is it for these young players to come up against grown men, really, going into the new season?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're going to be up against, and it kind of the jump from playing under 21s or 23s football to where we are is a big jump, and I think one or two of them will sort of look around and think, wow, you know, this is quite competitive, and you know, there's livelihoods at stake, so that will keep in good stead, that sort of test tonight.
And steering away from the football a little bit, it was our first outing in the new away kit. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, lovely kit, isn't it? I mean, it catches the eye, that's for sure. Yeah, it's something different. I think the fans seem to like it. I'm always welcoming change and new kits, so let's hope it becomes a lucky kit for us.
And next up is Crawley Town on Saturday, League Two opposition, so league above. How are you feeling going into that one?
Yeah, I think it'll be another good test for us. I think, again, it'll be another probably realistic test what we're going to come up against. And it's one more game preparation, really, for the big start. I think the results are good. You know, they're important, the results. But we all know we've got to make sure we peak on August the 5th and then hit the ground running then. So everything's still geared towards that at the moment.
Perfect. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
Jack, moving on to your actual role at the club, for those who don't know, can you describe your day-to-day activities here?
So my role is head of athletic performance, and that basically I look after the gym side of things. So me and Tom work in tandem, Tom Cockin. Again, he's an amazing person to work with. You know, he took the role after Max Kane went to Exeter, who was in the role before, And I think he came in and put a stamp on this role. He's taken it to another level, in my opinion. And it's a pleasure to work with him. But so he does all the pitch side stuff, and I look more in the gym. So all their strength programs and stuff like that, I'll look after. And we work very, very closely with the physio department. So you've got Huss and Emily down there, who, you know, we work very closely with players that are maybe injured coming back. Players that we might, you know, give a bit of extra work to, or can see that they need a bit of extra stuff here or there. So that's where I'm based. I'm more based in the gym rather than anything, but it's something that I have a passion for. It's something that I knew when I finished my full-time football, that's where I wanted to go. And I was, you know, I was blessed enough to have a role open up here. And my second year now. First year was a good learning experience, and I think, you know, we've took it strength to strength as not only my department but the physio department. I think, you know, we're only going one way, and anyone that's seen how we work down there, I think, will say that, you know, we are on it.
And being at Cray as well, is it easier for you now to have everything sort of back in one place? Because obviously at Dulwich, yeah, you were here, back over there, back here. Is it easy to just know that everything's...
I have a bed downstairs. I have a bed downstairs. I'm for some of my longest days, I'm here at 7:15, 7:30, and I leave at 9:30 after training. So, but in practicality, yeah, it is. I'm on site for everything. So he lets me get a bit more work done. But no, it does make life a bit easier.
And it's been a busy week this week. We've had our community soccer camp. So that's a 5-week sort of soccer camp with the kids. And I know Matt and Jeff and Andrea and all of our community team are fronting that. And I know when you were a player, you were very big on, you know, the community side of it, visiting schools. And how important is our community trust to the club?
Massive. You know, I know they do good work as well, and it always has been. I personally have always thought it's something that we should always do. When I was here, I tried to go as many schools as I could, like you said, and I thought it was important to get out to the community. And I think the work, again, has gone from strength to strength, and we're reaching so many more schools, so many more people. And you can see that from attendances and the kids that you can see coming in for holiday camps. You know, don't know the number, but it looked extremely busy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think you can't overlook that. It's such an important part for us, and the work Matt and Andrea and Alex do on that side of things is amazing.
And I think there's a really good video somewhere. We'll have to dig it out, but it was when you went back to Pickhurst, because that was your old school, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think Neil Smith sort of announced to the kids that that was your old school, and their faces, they just kept turning to each other going, wow, like seeing you as a role model, going back to your old school and sort of, you know, giving the kids that memory. It must be good for you to...
Yeah, I mean, I had such good memories of that school, and I had young brothers and sisters who went to that school as well, and, you know, I always seemed to end up back there and speaking to the teachers. And I mean, seeing the kids and even seeing them at games, and they sort of half recognise you from going to the schools, that's always a pleasure to be a part of. But going back to Pickhurst was amazing, and there were still some teachers there that taught me, which was amazing. But
were you well behaved at school?
Oh, of course. Yeah. What do you mean? You
I
know
mean,
me.
You were the skipper, weren't you? So yeah, you've got to. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, but even. I'm thinking back now, we had a great football team there, and it was some of probably the happiest moments of my life, believe it or not.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, sticking to the time when you were a player, how would you sum up your time here?
I have people that ask me about my career and stuff like that, and they, could you have gone higher and done this, that and the other? But for me, looking back, now that I can look back at it, I was happy.
Yeah.
I was happy. I was local club, coming in every day, and I was playing with my mates, like Raymond, Coulson, Porter, Woody, Cheeky, who's still here. You know, they were like my mates who are, they're my best friends now.
Yeah.
So those 8 years that I spent here with the successes, the lows, the highs, my family are from Bromley. I probably said this a few times, and I know a few fans know her, but my nan and my dad and brothers, uncles, came every game.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure a couple of the Supporters Player of the Year awards were just from my nan spamming it. But I honestly would not change those years and the people I met and the experiences for anything. I think if you can go through your career being happy, that's more than I can ask.
And I've actually got a really good story about you, which is when I was here on work experience. It was sort of like a placement thing, right, when I was at uni. And do you remember when we went to Solihull? It was when the trains were delayed, and I think we were stuck with Dagenham and Sutton at the station.
In the first class lounge, was this?
Yeah.
So
when we were coming back, I think we had a couple of spare train tickets, and I'm pretty sure I'm not making this up, but there was two young lads on the platform, and I was in charge of the ticket. I don't know why Matt and Jeff left me in charge of the ticket.
Yeah. But especially if he was giving them out. Yeah.
True, yeah. And then, you turned to me and asked for these two lads to be on the train with the players.
Mm.
And that, for me, like being a football fan, I just thought that was class. Like, for you to do that and just see those lads there.
Yeah.
And then they travelled back to London with the players. Like,
do you know what? It's, again, for that being an away game as well, you know, they've travelled with us. It's all them little things that I think they've spent the money to get there,
yeah,
to come watch us play. And then they're on the way home and we have two spare tickets. I know the players don't mind. I've always known that.
Yeah.
But I think that is something special for them. You know what I mean? Don't get that every day where you can come in with the boys after a game. And anything like that, I think, is something a bit extra, something a bit special, where if we can, why not?
Yeah.
So I hope they enjoyed it, whoever them lads are. If you're listening, let me know. but anything like that, I think, as players with fans, if they're young, old, anyone, you take the time to talk to them. That's something I was brought up with, something that I believe in. And something I try to model myself.
Yeah, because I always remember that season where I was here on placement, and after every home game, you were hanging around the tunnel after the game, always talking to supporters, and you know, you always put them first. And I think that's sort of something that we've lost in football, especially, you know, modern football. And you see videos of, you know, the Man United players completely ignoring supporters who were, all they want to do is say hi.
Yeah.
You always had time for supporters.
Yeah, it's, you almost couldn't get me out the bar sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's something that through my family, they'd always say, make sure you take the time. And that's something I, like I said, try to still do. And you know, you'll see people in Bromley. Funnily enough, you'll be walking in Bromley and someone will spot you. You have a chat with them. That's what you do.
Yeah.
I hope it's something I've always believed in and I'll continue to do.
And during your time as a player, you also received a call-up to England C.
Mm.
How was that for you to experience?
It was all right. I remember, my first time, I think we went away to Jordan. So I played in one, as almost like a trial game, I think. And then I went away to Jordan, and looking at the professionalism that it was going away of England was unbelievable. And I remember it's Paul Fairclough, and he was an amazing coach, to be fair. And the boys I went with, you sort of know through the circuit, and you do make sort of friendships out of that as well. But playing was unbelievable. I think I played for him three or four times, and the last one was at home at Sutton's ground. So actually all my family came and they saw me in the shirt and singing the national anthem, and I scored that game. So to have them there to watch me play for England, no matter what level, you know, England C, you're still England, you're still representing your country. To have them there and see me do all that is... was a proud moment for me, to be fair.
And obviously you walked us out at Wembley and you know, won promotion as well. If you could relive doing one of those things again, which one would it be?
That's a tough question. I think the walkout at Wembley was one of, if not, I think the highlight of my career. To see that many people there supporting you, and you, I know Neil Smith, you know, he's a Bromley boy as well. We led out as a manager. I led out as a captain, also from Bromley. So, you know, I think it meant that little bit more. But again, it all relates back to me with my family. I think that's like the last game my granddad might could come to. And I remember he was sitting up there, and obviously all my other family were there, but that's the last game he's come to for me after the years that he, you know, took me travelling to football as well as my other family. But that meant a lot to me, and to see him there. But again, winning the league is a massive high. And to do it again with Bromley, with family there, it's massive. But that walkout for me was something special.
And then when we returned to Wembley, you were there with... who were you there with? I think it was Sam Wood.
I was with a few. I was with Sam Wood, Frankie Raymond, George Porter. I think Mecky was there. So we got our tickets from Luke Coulson, so he was in the family area. Obviously, I still knew, and we still knew the family and friends. But that was a day. That was a day. I enjoyed it a bit more. Yeah. I had a few more beers than I probably should have.
There was no pressure on you that day.
No,
so.
I remember getting on at East Croydon at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and a couple of the security staff from Bromley were on it as well.
Yeah.
And they just handed me a beer, and then from that point on, it was good.
Away you go.
But I actually got to enjoy it and take the day in from a supporter's perspective. Yeah. As well as supporting, you know, the boys on the field who I still have close ties with, and when, you know, when Cheeky scored, and then when the final whistle went, you know, I felt proud of the club, and I felt proud of the players, and you know, it was a good night as well afterwards.
Yeah. And moving back onto this week, we've actually made a new signing this week called Chin Okoli.
Yes.
From Millwall. Have you spoken to him since he signed?
Yep, I've been down with him. I've worked with him the past, you know, couple of days. Great kid. He's an absolute monster of a man as well. I know he's still young, but he looks like a powerful centre half. I know he's quite vocal as well, so I think he'll be a great addition to our squad.
So after Chin signed for us, we caught up with him, and here is what he had to say.
Chin, firstly, welcome to Bromley. How's it feel to have signed?
Yeah, it feels great. It's a good environment, good facilities, and us ready to work.
Some fans may recognise you from Saturday. You played for Millwall, didn't you, against us on Saturday. How did the move come about?
Just my gaffer told me the other day that Bromley were interested in me, and I thought, and I couldn't turn it down. It's a great opportunity. It's a great club, and obviously great fans and a great gaffer. So yeah, I'm here now.
And what are your first impressions of Hayes Lane?
Oh, it's just a great place. It's like a family, because everyone, like, they just welcome me as if I've been here all the time. It's just great. So I'm just willing and ready to go.
And you were actually trialist day on Tuesday night. How was it to finally be out there with your new teammates?
It was great. I didn't know everyone's name, but I still did what I could, and I felt like it was just a good introduction and a good feeling to be part of a team and ready to start the season.
And Andy Woodman, he rates you very highly. What's your first impressions of the manager and the coaching staff?
I thought they're also understanding and they're just kind, and obviously I just can't wait to try and repay their faith in me.
And for those who don't know, how would you describe yourself as a player?
I describe myself as very aggressive, but also composed on the ball, and I could pick out a pass off of both feet.
And you've had experience in this league before with Torquay. How was that for you?
It was a very different experience. It was like a year ago, and I feel like I'm ready now to kick on and really make a name for myself in this league.
And what are your personal targets this season?
Personal targets is to start as many games as I can, to play as well as I can, and to just carry myself about around the club as a good professional.
And we've got Crawley Town on Saturday. Are you looking forward to testing yourself against higher opposition?
Yeah, of course. I feel like it'll be a good test for the lads and a good test for me personally. And I feel like we can really showcase what we're about in this league this season.
Great speed to Chin there. And maybe another one on the way very, very soon as well. So keep your eyes peeled on that one, potentially before Saturday. Looking ahead to the weekend, we've got Crawley Town, and then we've also got Crystal Palace 11 on Tuesday night. And obviously you spent time, you know, as a youngster at Palace, so these are now sort of following in your footsteps. So it'll be a good experience for them and for us as well. But just going back to Cray, you've obviously got friendlies coming up before the new season. Mm-hmm. Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, so we've got Westfield coming up and South Park. I think the last two, and then our season begins. I think we were a week after Bromley. So we're just like Bromley, just starting to get there now with minutes. I think always as a player, you just want the season to start.
Yeah.
Pre-season's never nice anyway, you know, it's but you get on with it and you just want to get into the fold, you want to get going. And I think I feel that from a player's point of view, and I feel that as a coach's point of view now. I just want the season to start for Bromley as well. I want to get in the mix of it now. I think pre-seasons on both sides of the pitch for me personally has been good, and I'm ready for the season to start.
And Cray home games obviously at Hayes Lane, and they'll never clash with a Bromley home game, so any Bromley fans that, you know, can't make our away trips, or if we don't have a game, if Cray are playing Friday nights or whatever, make sure you get down, support Jack, support the old Bromley boys, Neil Smith as well. So
yeah, that would be amazing. That would be amazing, and I'm hoping to make a few of our home games this year, because I no longer clash. So you'll probably see me about on a couple home games this year.
And you know, looking at the squad this summer, who has been your standout players at the minute, whether that's fitness wise or football ability?
I think for me, you always have the ones that always shine. So you have Louis Dennis, Corey, you know, they've been in and around it for ages, so you know they're fit boys. But for me, it would have impressed me this year, Marcus Sablia, he's impressed me just with in essence of everything. Jude Arthurs, James Vennins, and Josh Pasley, he's a strong boy, and he's fit, and I like the way he plays. So I think, you know, them four for me have been my standout players so far this pre-season.
And what's your relationship like with the current squad and the manager as well?
Good. You know, it's since I come in last year with the manager anyway, and the management staff, it's always been good. It's always been a good relationship I have. You know, when I came back in, I met Mark Hammond, who then took me to go see Woody. And you know, from when I walked in the office, just being welcomed back, and you know, I was excited to get going, and I've just felt like I've been part of the team since I come back. So you know, with the playing squad, a lot of them know me anyway. So I think there's almost already that mutual respect that was there, and then working throughout the year, I think it's even got stronger. So got a great relationship, as I think all the staff do. I think we're all pushing into one direction. I think everyone knows what we're trying to achieve, and you know, like I said, we do test the boys, like we are doing a lot, but I think they know it's for a common good, and they've been excellent down there. They really have.
And you mentioned Mark Hammond there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when you were a player, he was our assistant manager.
Yeah.
Could you, from those days, could you tell that he would go on to be chief exec?
Yeah. He was... It's a thing, like, it's... I call him Uncle Hammo, innit? So that's the sort of relationship we had, even back then. But I think he always had that... that personality and that hunger to want to improve, if that's on the field, which I know he misses. I know he misses that sort of fix of football. But I think he just has that hunger to be better and that passion to progress. And that's something you can see if you look through the years, especially at Bromley. You can see where we were and where we are now and where we continue to go. I think he's had a lot of say in that and a lot of push to get where we are now. So, you know, there's things that say we want down in the office. There's things that we think will benefit us. Can we have this? He'll say why. He'll say because it's gonna do this. He likes to see if it's gonna get us to our destination where we want to be. Does it help the academy? Does it help our first team? Help 21s? He will get it in. He will make sure we've got what we need to progress all our players and our club where we want to go. So it's been a pleasure.
And one final question from me. Otherwise, you'll be here until midnight.
I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying it. Yeah.
It's good. How far do you think we can go next season?
I think we can go as far as we want to go. I think the plans are there. I think we've got, you know, great management. We've got the players that can do it. All the staff, I think, are, like I said, pulling in the right direction. Obviously, it takes that little bit of luck here and there. You've got to have the rub of the green. But I can see it being a really successful season. I think we're putting in the work. I think we're ready to have a good year.
Brilliant. So just to finish that up, I think that's gone well. I think that's
Josh,
well.
I'm telling you what, mate, I think we've cracked it here.
I think
you've cracked it.
Thank you. I'll say that. Well, you know, if you want to come back, I think we should do a double act. So we'll get Matt back.
Yeah.
I think Luke Coulson or even one
Don't
of the...
Don't get him on here.
No,
I've had enough of him, I'll be honest. I've seen him every day.
Yeah, but it's what the supporters need, Jack.
Look, if it's what the supporters want, then I'll do it, all right?
Or if one of your Cray ex-Bromley boys want to come on, you know.
All right, no, tell you what, get Luke on here, we'll have a good time, I'll tell you that.
Brilliant. Right, so, yeah, thank you for joining us, Jack.
Thank you, Josh.
You're the perfect Matt Hall replacement. Just to finish up there, hopefully you all enjoyed that episode of the podcast. Obviously a little bit different. Matt will be back next week, so we'll be back to normal. Just a reminder that tickets are still on sale for Saturday's game against Crawley and Tuesday night against Palace. The women's team are also in action on Sunday. They face Sutton in a friendly at 2 p.m. Entry is free. And also some fixture news, which is that we have two televised home games, first one being our first home game against Barnet, which is now 5:30 kickoff. We then play Maidenhead United the following month, and that will be on TV, but the kickoff will remain 3 p.m. We also have our trip to Rochdale that's been arranged for the night before, so that will now be Friday the 25th of August instead of the 26th. And then New Year's Day, we were meant to be hosting Ebbsfleet, but that's now been moved to Saturday, the 30th of December. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will be back next week, and so will Matt. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.